called Jesus. Amen. Has anybody called on Him today?
Yes, amen.
He said if we would call, He would answer each and every time that we call upon His name. Tonight I'd like to preach to you a message that's somewhat, I guess, different and strange, but it's what the Lord has laid upon my heart. And this week, and I tried to get away from it. I tried to skirt in different areas, but sometimes there's just no way except for just follow the Lord and allow Him to move in our lives. But have you ever thought, and I guess we've all known families or been there ourselves, but maybe even this time of the year, thought about families where there'd be no presents, no gifts. And I thought my thought tonight is about that, concerning that no gifts, no presents. And you say, well, that's a sad thought tonight, Roger, for us to think about. And as we gather, and no doubt many of us that have children and grandchildren, we try to see what it is that they'd like to have. And how many of us, as even parents, that would work an extra shift or take on another job or do without something we needed just to make sure at Christmas time that the children got something that they wanted. Whether they needed it or not, we tried to make sure, Brother Ron, that they got it. And as children, we really didn't realize what our parents did without so that we could have the things that we have. And today our children and grandchildren don't really realize what we're doing without. The sacrifices that are made by moms and dads just to make sure that the children have the gift under the tree. And before I get into my message, I heard this week that Santa Clauses are being instructed this year. Because of the economy, they're being instructed that not to make big commitments to the children that they'll get what they want. Because of the economy, that they're being told to tell the children and ask the children, based upon all these things that you've asked for, which one do you like? Would you like to have the most? And which one would you like to share with others that they might be able to receive a gift? And I thought how terrible that it is that we as a nation, that God is trying to get our attention, that our presents are about to be taken away from us. And people say, well, that's sad thinking tonight. But you follow me for a few minutes of time. Because in the book of Matthew, in the 7th chapter, if you'd like to turn there, Matthew, the 7th chapter. We have preached from these scriptures many times over the years, but tonight this is where the Lord directed our hearts, because I didn't know where else to go in all of the Word to get our point that is upon my mind, my heart this evening. In the 7th chapter, if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, go with me if you would, down to verse 8. Because He says, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and he that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask of Him?" And stop reading there with that 11th verse, and that's some good scripture reading tonight. I think about all the times, and folks, every one of us has been down, I would say. And maybe I can't say all of us, but many of us have been to the point to where we had to skimp on something else in order to be able to provide the gifts at Christmas time. But we made it happen by the grace of God. They may not have received exactly what it was that they had asked for, but they received gifts under the tree, because as the scripture says here, if the kids asked for a piece of bread, we certainly tried to give them a piece of bread. If they asked for a fish, a piece of fish, we try our best to give them a piece of fish, not a serpent and not a stone. It is because we love the kids so much that we sacrifice in the way that we do. I will do without, you will do without, to make sure the kids have what they have need of. And it's not just true for the kids, but it's also, Brother Larry, true for the grandkids. Because we do not want to see them do without. They're as much our children as our children are. And as one man said, if I'd known grandkids was going to be this much fun, we'd had them first. But there was nobody to send them home to, so they were ours. And we had to raise them. When we look at all the different things that moms and dads go through and the sacrifices that are made because of our love for our children and our loved ones, that we try to give them whatever it is that they have need of. So many times yesterday, Sister Rose, I believe it was, Jim, that was saying that for her grandkids, they don't even try to buy the gifts for them anymore. They just try to do the gift cards because their wants and their desires change from week to week. Even your grandkids and mine, the lists change from week to week. Yeah. But even though we didn't buy the gift, we made the means possible for them to receive the gift. And I thought, my thought went with this, is all the sad faces. And Sister Jane, I'm glad that we had that conversation when you came in. But all the sad faces on Christmas morning. Because it's an expectation, is it not? Because of Christmas, some man that rides in a sleigh that reindeer pull and how it flies, I don't know, that makes it through the chimney and brings down gifts, didn't show up at our house. And that's the story that kids are told. And I'm not going to preach against Santa Claus, because there's a little bit of Santa Claus in every one of us. But as soon as they come to the age, Sister Violet, they need to know that it's not Santa Claus, but who the real Santa Claus is that makes Christmas possible. And I have to put this in, that it's not even you and I can take credit for wanting to give the gifts that the kids desire, because it goes back to the beginning of time. And my thought was, is that God, in the beginning of time, wanted to give His people the gifts that they had desire. You remember in the book of Genesis when it said in the cool of the day that God come walking in the garden? He wanted to be there with Adam and Eve and give them what it was that they had need of. He gave them a place of paradise. And they had His companionship. And as sad as it is to think about homes without gifts at Christmas time, the saddest thought that I had and can think about is, what if God never gave us the gift of Jesus Christ? Every one of us would be running just in havoc, because there'd be no hope for us, Wayne. We would never have a promise or a glimmer of light that life would ever get any better. We would have no one that we could count on and nowhere that we could go to get help. We would have not a church and family, friends in the church, that we could draw strength from each other. If God had not given us the best gift that this world has ever seen, could ever receive today. And I say this with all sincerity. When people ask me what it is that I want for Christmas, I cannot think of one thing that I have need of. And I can't think of one thing that I would want if I could pick out from a selection. Now, if we went crazy, yes, every one of us could say, well, this is, if somebody had unlimited funds and wanted to just give us something, just to be given to something, how many of you could come up with something tonight? Amen? Some of you would want those new golf clubs, some maybe a new boat, maybe some new cooking utensils. No, that wouldn't be on the list. But you see what I mean? When there is no limit to what you could ask for, you've seen the faces. Well, you didn't see them, but I saw the faces light up. Because we know that there's no limit. Well, I want to tell you tonight that those of us that know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, there's no limit to what we can ask for, that He will not give it to us. Because He said it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the keys to the kingdom. It's the Father's pleasure to ask, as He said in verse 7, ask what it is that you would want and seek what it is that you would find, what need to find, and knock, and it shall be opened to you. Because everyone that asketh, receiveth. And this is important. Sister Violet, this will be for you tonight and me, if nobody else. Every one of us that asks shall receive that which we ask for. People say, don't get my hopes up tonight, Pastor. Has God ever let you down? Has He ever once failed to provide that which you had need of? Every time I turn around. And Sister Violet, I hear your request about and prayer about the car and everything else. And it does seem like everything you go to get done, it just used to it was $100 for everything. And now that price has gone up exponentially. To where now you can't even hardly afford to have a vehicle because of the repair cost. But I know a man that can speak to the car. People say he can't do that because it's mechanical. There is nothing impossible with God. He can speak to the car. He can speak to the house. He can speak to the job. He can speak to your heart and your life and give you a present this year that you didn't even know how it was going to come about. And when it comes to Christmas, if we could just be open for a minute of time, we've taken it too far anyway. Have we not? Because we allow commercialism tell us what we should give and how much we should give. And folks, let me tell you, it's not the price tag that makes the gift. You can't outgive what God has already given to us. In fact, I said this in years past, and many of you will remember this. Instead of giving more, I think that we ought to take things away. I like what Vaughn told her kids, if I can share this, that Willardine shared with us yesterday. They asked for more, and she said, before you can get more, you got to get rid of some of the stuff you already got. Isn't that wonderful? If you want more stuff, you need to get rid of some of the stuff you've already got. Becky's been telling me that for years. But that's a great thing, because then you get to help somebody else. And they say, well, you would give used gifts at Christmas time. Folks, if they're in good shape and somebody that doesn't have anything, it would be like you giving them a brand new one. Amen? See, we become too picky and we become too cognizant of how much does it cost? How much is it worth? And folks, we cannot give what God gave to us. Because He gave us something that is far above price. You can't begin to put a number on how much salvation is worth. And not just salvation, but how many of you, since God gave you His Son, Jesus Christ, and you accepted Him, how many of you have received many other gifts since that day that you could not begin to put a value on the gifts that God gave to you and how much they mean to you? Could you imagine your life without the gifts that God has given to you? You're talking about havoc. Some of us that's seen movies in days past, and you don't even have to go to movies. Go to the sit-ins that's taking place in Washington, D.C. and across America, where people are just fed up with what's going on in our government and the greed that has taken place in Wall Street. Amen. Folks, we are headed to a time, and I don't mean to get on to politics and life, but let me tell you, God's already taken so much away from us. Because any nation that forsakes God, God will forsake that nation. Amen. If you go back to the 70s, even though it was hard economic times, we were still blessed. As people in this world, we were still blessed. Now, here we are in the 2000s, and we are going through hard economic times, but we're not seeing the face of God show up to all of our country like we saw in the 70s. And people are saying, where's the presence? Where is God? And God is saying, when you return to me, I will return to you. And folks, the presence are there. God is still available to us. He said that if we ask for bread. We won't receive a stone. Many of us don't know what to ask for. And what we ought to ask is, Lord, you know my heart, you know my life, you know what I need more than I know what I need. And give me that which I have need of, because to some it might be that we need these good things. And I've got that underlined in my Bible. And I've got it highlighted. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Good things. Can anybody get anything that's good upon your mind that you have need of? A good thing tonight. Because if we don't ask, it is definitely a possibility that we will not receive it if we don't ask of God. And for those that we've lost, those things that we've lost, if you never look for them, you remember the widow who lost the one little mite? If she had never lit the lights, got out the broom and began to look for it, she probably would have never found it. You say, well, it was right there all the time. How many of us have looked for something and we could not find it? And we've got electricity. Sometimes, and I've shared this with you before, I couldn't find it and I'd just pray, God, help me. And God would help me. And every time I say that, Larry Jones, I think, how many people just look at me and say, you just think God can do it all? And I want to say, yes. Amen, Brother Ron. He can do it all. But these good things that he's given to us, how many of us this year could think about families? And yes, when I think about the children, most of all, it saddens my heart. But there are children that need more than just gifts under the tree. You think about this. There are children that need a home. Not a house. They need a home. There are families that need a God. Not just any God, but Jehovah in their lives. There's hearts that need voids filled. And not just anything can fill your void. I've seen people go from one end of the pendulum to another, trying to find things to fill that void that's in their life. And you will not find it in a permanent relationship with anything that the world has to offer. But Bill Baker, God's got some gifts. If we will come and ask of Him, He'll give us good things to fill that void that's in our life. These good things that he says that we ought to ask for. The writer gives us many different things. And we know this from our own lives. That things that God could give us good things for this Christmas that we ought to be asking for. We could ask for deliverance from dangers. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds for any of us. But I know a God that before tomorrow's morning sun comes up, He already knows tomorrow. And He knows what gifts, what good things I stand in need of for tomorrow. See, I serve a God that doesn't just show up once a year at Christmas with gifts. But how many of you know that throughout the course of the whole year that He comes to your house bearing gifts? I'd much rather have God bringing gifts to my house than I had Santa Claus. Amen? Some of you get with me in a minute. Because Santa Claus can only give you things that will wear out and need to be replaced. But that which God gives to us, you don't have to worry about it ever failing you. He also teaches us that we need to ask the Lord for the gifts of being preserved or preservation from evil, because evil is everywhere. The devil is working, folks. And every time we try to give a good gift, the devil shows up with something bad to try to take away the joy of the good gift that we're trying to receive or give to somebody else. It seemed like, and I shared this with the church over the years, back when I was working and on an hourly scale, it seemed like every time they offered overtime, and I would work overtime to try to pay off a bill that we had, and I thought, man, I can work overtime and we'll be able to get that bill paid for and have a little extra. But how many knows before the check came in, the devil showed up and took that which I'd earned and even more to try to fix that which was wrong. See, the devil don't want you to enjoy what God's given to you. But you know what you can do? Instead of fussing and arguing with him, you can just smile and keep on going and say, yeah, you may have tore that one up, but the same God who fixed the last one, he can fix this one. If we'll just trust and ask of him. He also tells us that these good things that the Lord can do for us, the gifts that we really need, bodily healing. We have folks tonight, even in our congregation this evening, that need a touch from the Lord. We've got had folks this morning that need a touch from the Lord. Sister Janetta needs a touch from the Lord. Shirley needs a touch from the Lord. Ivan needs a touch from the Lord. Sister Mary needs a touch from the Lord. Dee Dee needs a touch from the Lord. And I can. Your brother needs a touch from the Lord. You need a touch from the Lord. Ott's brother. In fact, let's just put it this. I don't know anybody that don't need a touch from the Lord. I need that gift. And what would happen if that gift never come? Folks, I get down and out just like you do. If it wasn't for the Lord, I would never have a reason to lift up my head and enjoy the life that's here. He also teaches us that not just bodily healing and health, but also that God can bring to us material prosperity. And some may say, oh, Roger, everything was all right until you get on that prosperity. You tell me one of the patriarchs of old that God did not bless. You read this about this and then I'll move on. There's not a one of the patriarchs that I read that was poor, broke, and destitute. Go back and visit David. Go back and visit his children. Go back and visit the prophets of old. Every need they had was taken care of. Every need. The children of Israel, they were down there in bondage for over 400 years. They prayed for Christmas gifts every year and didn't receive anything. But when the Christmas finally came to their house, you know what they left with? They took some of the gold and silver that belonged to the Egyptians. In fact, they didn't take just some of it. They took a lot. You know what God said? He said, I've seen how much you've worked, and I'm going to recompense unto you what they took away from you. That's the kind of God we serve tonight. And he also said this. And I didn't ask you, but wouldn't it be something? If we just went before the Lord and said, Lord, you know my financial situation. When I was off work, I told the church about this, I guess, on a Wednesday night. I was off work and we was down to, and I was struggling. And Brother Ron, I didn't know how I was going to get by. And I was doing something that day and I needed just a few dollars. And when I was off work, I was doing or helping with the laundry. And I pulled out a pair of breeches out of the dryer. And sure enough, I was pushing the pockets down in. And I reached down in there and there was a $20 bill in that pocket. Now, I don't know where it came from. People say, well, that was yours. You probably left it in there. It got put in there, no doubt. Because it was there. But I believe it just like this. At the moment that I needed it the most, God allowed it to show up. Amen. But what if that gift had never showed up? I wouldn't have been able to do that job that day. And folks, let me tell you, when God gives you a gift, how many of you tonight, and I'm going to close in a minute, but how many of you tonight know when a gift that showed up and you know it was from God, you just look up and say, thank you, Lord. Amen. No matter how small it might be or how big it is. But what if that gift had never shown up? Think about the difference it would have made in your life. Think about a Christmas without any gifts. Think about a day without any gifts. And I think I can get even bolder and say, think about an hour without God giving you a gift. Is anybody breathing right now? You know that's a gift from God? That's a gift from God. Because during the hour that we've gathered here tonight, many souls have went into eternity. Some of them was in bad health. Sister Carlene, some of them was in good health. You know what the Bible says? It makes no difference whether you're poor or rich. It makes no difference whether you're in good health or bad health. When God calls and He doesn't give you any more gifts, you've got to leave this life. Let me close with this. What if there was no gift of eternal salvation? Could you imagine living a life knowing that when you died, this was the end of it? No wonder so many of our people are running around acting the way they are, because they believe this is the end of life. It's sad on two phases of that. One, that they actually believe that. And two, that they're going to wake up after this life comes to an end and realize they made a big mistake. But you and I, when we asked for life, He didn't give us death, He gave us life. When you and I ask for good things from God, does He not show up and give us good things? That's almost like that message, such and such, is it not, Larry? Good things encompasses a lot of things. Good things. The Bible says that He will not withhold any good thing from us. Whatever it is we have need of. And let me close with this as well. God not only gives us our needs, but has He given anybody some of your wants?
Amen.
He's given us, how many of us don't have a washboard anymore? Amen. You say, well, that's just a modern necessity. No, that's a good gift. Because not every house can afford one. Not every house can afford one. We don't have the ice chest anymore. We have to go out to the ice house and get the ice blocks and bring them in. That's a good gift. We're not out, men, we're not out with shovels and picks earning a living anymore, are we? That's a good gift. Sometimes people ask me at work how everything's going. And I'll tell them, I'll say, well, it's better than digging ditches. People say, you don't appreciate your job. Yeah, I do. I'm not digging ditches. Especially this time of year, Billy. Because right now, the top 5 or 6 inches is frozen. So it's a good thing that God has blessed us with the wisdom to be able to do other things to provide for our families. No matter how bad your gift is, you can still find a reason to look up and thank God. Because it's really not a bad gift, it's a good gift. But you imagine a world without a God. A Christmas without a present. A day without a present. And people say, well, I just don't know what to ask for this year. And I'm preaching to a mature audience tonight. And most of us probably, and I say most of us, if somebody asks us, if our spouse or our loved one asks us what it is that we want for Christmas, we'd probably say, I can't think of anything that I need. I can't think of anything that I really want. But down on the inside, how many of us have got things that God can provide that a loved one can't, that we need to ask for? Because if we don't ask, you may not receive. If you don't seek, you won't find. And if you don't knock, the door may never be opened. We need to follow our hearts as to what God's given us. Because a Christmas without any gifts, a day without any gifts from God, could be like an eternity. Sure, their hearts will be broke. And I don't say this in a callous way. But you know what? Kids are resilient and they'll get over it. They will look back one day and appreciate the fact that Mom and Dad couldn't that year. There's been Christmases in our house that Mom and Dad couldn't give anything. How many of you had experiences like that? But you know what? It didn't make me love Mom and Dad any less. In fact, looking back, it makes me love them more for the years that they could. And realizing when they couldn't. Because too many times today, you know what Mom and Dad would do? Today they just go deeper in debt to try to get that. And I know I'm preaching to a mixed congregation. But folks, let me tell you, Becky and I, in years past, no doubt, we went in debt to get the kids what they wanted. But no more. And people say, you were going to say that. Yes, because it's not right for me to try to give a gift that's impossible to a child that it's only going to satisfy for a few days. Let me close with this. Recent, Sean, when they was at the house, you're talking about gifts. When they were at the house, Reese came to me one night, about a week ago, and she said, "Grandpa, you got any cardboard?" And I said, "Cardboard? What do you want cardboard for?" And she said, "Sean and I want to make a house and ride on it." I said, "Well, I do have a piece of cardboard. I got a great big piece of cardboard because I save big pieces of cardboard so that when I'm working on a car, they make the best creeper that you could ask for." Some of you that don't know what a creeper is, see me after church and I'll explain it to you. But I can slide in and out from underneath a car on a piece of cardboard better than I can on any creeper with four wheels. And I don't have to have the car jacked as high. So I went out there and got them two great big, about this long, about this tall, pieces of cardboard and brought them in. And you would have thought that it was Christmas. They were so excited just to see those two pieces of cardboard. They got the crayons out and they started writing on them. They leaned them up against each other and they got in there and they had the best time playing with those two pieces of cardboard. Kids can find joy in anything. And even us as adults ought to be able to take a lesson from that. It's not the price tag. It's what you do with what you have that really brings the contentment in heart and the joy that God wants us to have. I hope you got something from the message tonight. If there were no gifts, I know it's sad to think about children not getting gifts. It's sad to think about homes without gifts. But the saddest thought that there is a world without the gift that God gave to us in Jesus Christ. And the gifts that in spite of ourselves. And I'll ask this now. I'll ask Robin and Sharon to get us a song of invitation.